From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program, connecting you to the Capitol every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance studio in Lincoln, covering the issues that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. It was quite the week. We have a lot to get to. I'll be joined by a special guest today covering a really important issue that is facing our community, what you can do to help. Of course, the Judge Kavanaugh confirmation and everything that transpired this week. But first, in light of everything that's happened, something that got lost this past week that I wanted to make sure I highlighted today was that just a few days ago, this past week on Thursday, October 4th, thousands of students across the nation and here in Nebraska boldly proclaimed their faith by bringing their Bible to school. That's right. This past week was National Bring Your Bible to School Day. It's an annual student-led event where thousands of students across the whole country share God's hope and celebrate religious freedom by doing something simple but powerful, bringing their Bible to school and talking about it with their friends. It truly is a great celebration of religious freedom. We were glad to promote this at NFA because outside of the home, if there's anywhere we need the Bible in America, it's in public schools. And students bringing their own Bibles is a great way to do that because that is a freedom that all students have. And it's amazing and convicting to see what God can do through multiple thousands of students from kindergarten to college, bringing their Bibles to school as a visual way to celebrate religious freedom and share God's hope with their friends. And I wanted to highlight this because the spiritual courage of these students in today's day and age is really refreshing. It deserves to be celebrated and also serves as an important reminder in what has been another tumultuous week in which we finally saw the conclusion of the much-talked-about FBI investigation into allegations against President Trump's Supreme Court nominee Judge Kavanaugh and the subsequent votes in the United States Senate to confirm him to the Supreme Court. So earlier this week, after a delay was given to allow the FBI to do their own investigation into the allegations against Judge Kavanaugh, the FBI released a report that showed no corroboration of the allegations of sexual assault or misconduct against Judge Kavanaugh. Again, zero. And this solidified the positions of most of the senators that were undecided or still on the fence about his nomination. And I think that this whole process, this whole confirmation, this is a watershed moment for our country. And I think that Judge Kavanaugh deserves to be on the Supreme Court because he is an extremely well-qualified nominee and we have due process and a presumption of innocence. And there was no evidence or corroboration of any kind giving any merit to any allegation against him. And in no way does confirming Judge Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court mean that sexual assault is okay or that the voices of victims and survivors don't matter. Of course they do. That's not what the vote was about. And as Senator Sasse said earlier this week, it is not as if we are making a giant binary choice about the much broader issue of whether we do or don't care about women. That is simply not true. To quote Senator Sasse, a Supreme Court confirmation vote isn't a grand choice about whether we love our daughters or whether we trust our sons. This is not the choice before us. This is a consent decision about one person for one seat. I think that needs to be said, and we need to continue to have a conversation in our country about sexual violence and how we treat one another as human beings created in the image of God, deserving of dignity and respect. That is what we preach at Nebraska Family Alliance. And one of the main issues that we work on, in addition to pro-life and protecting and advancing religious freedom and in the foundation of the family structure and family unit, is combating human sex trafficking. So today we want to highlight a global fundraising and awareness campaign coming up to end modern-day slavery called the A21 Walk for Freedom. It's taking place in communities around the world on October 20th, including right here in Omaha. I'm pleased to be joined now by the organizer of the Omaha A21 Walk for Freedom, Samantha Cosgrove. Samantha, it's great to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me, Nate. I appreciate it.
First, let me start by asking you, Samantha, what does the name A21 mean? What is this all about?
So A21 stands for Abolitionists of the 21st Century. So it's actually an international organization that fights not only human trafficking, which we talk a lot about here in Nebraska, but there's five different kinds of slavery that they fight globally. And so, yeah, that's what A21 is. And I'm a volunteer here locally in Omaha.
That's so great to hear, because this, I think you're right, this is an issue that we're starting to hear more about, but we know it takes different forms and can look differently in different areas. So, Samantha, what do you want listeners to know about the issue of human trafficking, particularly what this looks like in the United States and even in Nebraska, that people need people need to be aware of?
Mm-hmm. You know, Nate, I think that a lot of times, if you're not involved in knowing more about human trafficking, we do get tricked into believing that it's an international problem, right? That it's not in America. But, you know, the first time I ever met a human that was sold, it was in Omaha, Nebraska. And she was a 15-year-old girl, and she had been sold by her relatives, her aunt and uncle, to pay off their drug debt. So they sold her, she was about 13 at the time, to their drug dealer to pay off their debt. And so, you guys, it's happening here in Omaha. And, you know, my goal really is not to overwhelm people with information, because we don't want people to get apathetic, right? Like, we don't want people to get so overwhelmed that they choose to do nothing. But I do want to inspire people to learn more and to get more involved. And so, yeah, like you mentioned, Nate, human trafficking, I would say, is probably the largest form of slavery that we see in Omaha, Nebraska, at least from the local organizations that I work with, that's what they say. And that looks like, you know, a lot of people would say it looks like prostitution, but it's different. But it is selling people for sex, commercial sex, so paying for sex, children, boys and girls, and adult men and women.
Well, it's heartbreaking, but Samantha, yeah, you have decided to do something about this with the A21 Walk for Freedom. Tell us what this walk is about.
So this walk is an international walk, and that's what makes it super cool. So last year, we had over 500 cities in 50 countries. We all walk on the same day. So this year, it's October 20th. Here in Omaha, we're going to walk at 9:30 in the morning, and we walk 3 miles. And I just feel like it's so powerful that around the whole globe, we're all joining together on one day to push back darkness and to show our world that, no, we're not going to stand silent. Well, actually, ironically, we do walk silently. We don't talk, but we're going to take steps against human trafficking. And we're not just going to close our eyes to this evil, that we're going to actually step out and do something about it. And again, not getting overwhelmed with it, but just coming out and saying, hey, I can spend 2 hours on a Saturday morning to say slavery is not okay. I can spend 2 hours walking to show that I'm not okay with this being in my society. And it's really simple, you know, it's a really simple way that you can actually fight slavery, and you don't have to go across the globe or raise thousands of dollars. You can give us 2 hours on a Saturday morning.
Samantha, what can people expect with this walk? Because I know there are some differences that are unique and important that, mm-hmm. that might make it different than other walks that people might have participated in.
Yes, that is a good point, because we don't walk like you would normally see a walk that's a group or a huddle of people walking and talking and chatting. We actually stand in a single file line and we walk silently. We try our best not to talk. Obviously, it happens, especially if there's little kids with us. Kids are totally welcome. But we try and walk silently and just more let our presence, our single file line. We do hold some signs that give statistics about trafficking, like less than 1% of people are rescued from trafficking. You know, 40 million people around the world are in slavery right now. Statistics like that. And we walk single file line. We wear black. You can wear an A21 shirt if you purchase one or make one, but or you can just wear black. This year, we're walking on a pretty highly trafficking, like car traffic area, Dodge and 72nd Street. So I am asking that if people bring their kids, little ones, that they would maybe put them in strollers just for safety. So, yeah, the single file line, if you've seen the pictures of it, it's really powerful.
It is powerful, and I know there was a great turnout last year. A lot of people came forward to participate mm-hmm. in this walk, and we're hoping to see another great turnout again this year. And this walk, this is something that's going to be happening not even just across the country, but actually around the world. So what led you mm-hmm. to decide you wanted to help bring this to Omaha?
That's a great question. I love Christine Kane. She is actually her and her husband, Nick, are the ones that founded A21. She is a Spitfire preacher out of Australia, out of Hillsong Church, if you guys have ever heard of Hillsong. And I just started listening to her, and she is passionate about ending slavery. And so that just fired a passion in me. And I just felt like that we know that sex trafficking is going on in Omaha. We know it's happening. When you look at statistics, when you look at the map of the United States or even the map of Nebraska, our highway, our interstate is full of trafficking hubs. It is happening. And so I just thought, hey, this is one way that I can get involved to fight back against it. This is one way that I can get involved to raise awareness. Because that's a huge part of the walk, is raising awareness, just getting people to think about it. A lot of people have not even heard of human trafficking. A lot of people don't know that it's going on in Omaha, Nebraska. So I just thought that this was a way that I could manage to help.
Right. And Samantha, so what do you hope to see accomplished through this walk that, again, is going to be Saturday, October 20th here in Omaha? What do you hope is the end result or comes from this walk?
Well, I would love to see a large number show up. Numbers aren't how you necessarily base success, but the more people we have, the more people are going to take notice. And it will also just be encouraging to see people come out and to know that the word is getting out, that the citizens of Omaha are not okay with human trafficking, and they're willing to put a couple hours into fighting against it. I'm also very passionate about getting people involved here locally. So we're going to actually have local booths at the walk with different local organizations that are working every single day against human trafficking and getting these walkers connected with them. So if you want to take the next step and say, okay, this Saturday was great, but I want to do more, here's some local organizations that are actually fighting trafficking, like Rejuvenating Women, Disrupting Traffic, the Set Me Free Project. These are actually organizations that are the Coalition on Human Trafficking, the Nebraska Family Alliance. You know, there are people that are fighting this every day, and I get to just volunteer and organize this one day thing. But that's a huge passion of mine, that this wouldn't just be a once a year thing that we do, that will actually say, okay, Omaha, where do you need me? I have 2 hours a week to give, or I have $50 a month to give, or I can go teach these women about personal hygiene. You know, whatever gifts and talents that you have, it could be used to help these people in the restoring of their lives.
Well, I love that mindset. And this is such an important opportunity for people to step out, but also get involved and take that next step, as you mentioned. And it seems to me that I think there is starting to be a greater level of awareness and understanding of this issue than there was even just a few years ago. There's still a long way to mm-hmm. go. But I think this is something that, thanks to things like the A21 Walk for Freedom and people visibly stepping out and raising awareness, it's starting to become more of a priority. We're seeing more folks educated and aware and recognizing, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, that this isn't just a problem in other countries, but we need to do something here. So how can we all help take that next step and get even closer to fulfilling the mission that you are working towards with A21 and other anti-trafficking groups to see an end to this form of modern-day slavery?
Yeah. Well, you know, Nate, really what we need to be doing is praying, right? Like, we cannot, as humans, bring slavery to an end without God helping us and without Holy Spirit moving our hearts to compassion, right? Like, we can see these people being sold as slaves and we can, as humans, kind of turn our hearts off towards it. We can say we're too busy, or that's too much darkness, I can't handle the look at it. So I really think we need to pray. We need to pray that Holy Spirit will turn on that compassion in us, and compassion moves us to action. And so then each of us individually can ask God, okay, what's my action step, Lord? How can I help? You know, Samantha's leading this walk, but that's not for everybody, you know? So I agree. I'm very thankful that it's coming more into the light. And we even pray that, you know, that what's in darkness will come to light. And that this industry that is mainly done in darkness, in secret, in hidden places, will come into light. And it will no longer be able to hide and grow in the darkness and fester there. And so education is key. Raising awareness is key. One of the tables that's going to be there, the Set Me Free Project, I'm pretty sure that's their name. Sorry, forgive me if it's I'm saying it incorrectly, but they educate parents and students about technology and how can parents and students be wiser with their iPhones, with their computers, with TV, so that they can guard themselves against predators and they can be wise. You know, it's not realistic that all parents are going to say to kids, no, you can't have a phone. No, you can't have a computer. That's not realistic. But what is realistic are parents being wise, children choosing to let their parents be involved in their social media life, and us working together to protect our children. So those are just a few ways that they can get involved.
Well, I think you're spot on with all of that. And I'm glad that you brought up, one, the importance and need for prayer. This certainly is such a dark issue that there is that spiritual component. And I'm also glad that you mentioned the technology aspect. And I think in our overly sexualized culture and the prevalence of pornography and the access to young people through social media and iPhones and the internet is all just sort of feeding in to this problem. So I guess in your experience, Samantha, working on this issue, working with other organizations and with survivors, are you seeing that is a problem with technology and the access and prevalence of pornography? Is that sort of feeding into this issue?
Oh, Nate, it's huge. It's so huge. And, you know, when I speak about specifically pornography and our phones even, you know, I just want people to know that there's no shame, right? Like, I am not speaking shame. I'm speaking out education, and I'm hopefully inspiring people to live a healthier, better life, right? Because we know that if people are involved in pornography, if they're looking at pornography, shame is what the devil wants to push that more into hiding so that he can maintain that control. So pornography is something that has been used to take our godly given sexual desire. That's something God created, right? The gift of sex was something that God created for us. But the devil has manipulated that into something horrible and ugly and disgusting. And I have even recently watched a nurse, a trauma nurse from Kansas City, and she talked about how because these young children are being exposed to pornography at a younger age, how that's changing their brain. Literally, science shows it reforms your brain when you watch pornography. It is changing how they view their own body. It's changing how they view somebody else's body. It's changing how they think a healthy sexual relationship should look, how we should physically respond to one another in a sexual relationship. She also talked about, so she is a nurse in a hospital. When there's been a sexual crime, they are brought into her hospital. She was showing research about how sexual assault has become more vulgar, more aggressive, more abusive. And the predators that she's seeing, I know that word is hard to hear, but the attackers are much younger. So these are 11, 12, 13-year-old boys and girls that are sexually abusing children younger than them. And when they look at the case, usually they'll see that pornography was on that child's phone or on their computer or on their friend's phone that they've been hanging out with. And so, yes, pornography and our society has just really become so numb to it that we just watch these TV shows and it's like, no big deal, you know, but it's almost really like we're watching softcore porn while we're watching TV a lot of times. And we've just become so numb to it that we forget really what it's doing to us as adults and really, really what it's doing to our children's brains. I just read another thing that talked about this next generation that's coming up. So kids that are like high schoolers and teenagers right now, because of the amount of sex that they have seen and the high intensity that they have viewed, their brains are literally responding differently. So for them to even be sexually gratified in the natural, they're finding that it has to be more intense because their brains have gotten wired from this pornography to only be satisfied from this high intense sexual experience. And so I'm just saying this because, again, not in shame or condemnation, but we just need to wake up to what we're allowing happen to our children and how their sexual lives are being distorted and that gift that they are supposed to have from the Lord is being damaged. And it's really, really sad.
Well, I think you're right, Samantha, and I appreciate you delving in and breaking that down. I think there needs to be a lot more education on that aspect of the issue of trafficking in particular. And we're grateful that you are out there speaking out about this and organizing the A21 Walk for Freedom here in Omaha. Samantha, how can our listeners participate or find more information about the A21 Walk for Freedom?
So you can find us at a21.org/walk. That's the large website. And then you would search for whatever city you're in. You know, Nate, even if they're not listening to us in Omaha, they can go on there and search for their state. And almost every state last year had a walk. So even if they're not in Nebraska with us, they could potentially find a walk close to them. We also have a Facebook page and an Instagram page. It's at Omaha_walkforfreedom. And you can contact us there. You can talk with us. You can share our posts. That would be really helpful to help get the word out, sharing our posts. And so that's the best way for them to get involved locally. And show up on October 20th. You don't have to register. If you forget or maybe your plans change last minute, we're going to be at 6630 Dodge Street. It's a church right across the street from UNO, right there on Dodge Street. And so they have been gracious hosts to let us use their parking lot. And this is all a volunteer-based walk, so we don't really have funding. And even when funding is raised, I want that funding to go into the work, right? Like go into the work of educating, go into work in restoration, go into work of rescuing these girls and men and women. So I really try and create this walk at least cost as possible. So I'm really thankful for the church for allowing us to use their parking lot for free.
Again, this is the Omaha A21 Walk for Freedom coming up Saturday, October 20th in Omaha, beginning at 6630 Dodge Street. Samantha, thank you again so much for your time today and sharing about the A21 Walk for Freedom. It's such an important event that I know is helping to make a big, big difference, and we appreciate your work and leadership to make it happen.
Thanks, Nate. Thanks for your time this morning.
And if you would like more information on the issue of human trafficking or how you can help advance family, freedom, and life in our state, be sure to visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. And while you're there, make sure you purchase a ticket to NFA's 30th anniversary gala coming up on October 26th at the Embassy Suites in Lincoln. It is going to be an incredible evening of celebration and inspiration. We have the foremost advocates for religious freedom across the entire country. We'll all be joining us in one place in Lincoln, and we hope that you will join us. It's going to be such a special, special time, and we're looking forward to getting to celebrate 30 years of advancing family freedom and life in Nebraska with our supporters and people from across the state who will be coming to Lincoln to gather and celebrate with us. And we hope that you will be a part of that. So please visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. That's all the time we have for this week. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you will join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.